And now, the Adequate Podcast presents Ask Philo with your host, Philo T. Headbecker Kneecap, practitioner of the dark arts from Southeast Texas. Take it away, Philo!
It is. Okay, good. Well, my name is Philo Thibodeau Headbecker Kneecap, and I am a practitioner of the dark arts in Atchafalaya County in northern Southeast Texas. And, oh my goodness me, it is, I am so very apologetic for having had such a long delay since my last little report from out here in the county. It's been almost a year or so, and a lot of that's because an awful lot of things have been happening. And now, those of you who didn't, who may not remember what I talked about then, and I certainly didn't remember because, you know, it's been a very, I think the good word here is fraught. It's been a very fraught year here in the county. Back last October-ish or so, I was talking about how we had this here problem with zombies and alligators and alligator-eating zombies and undead alligator-eating zombies and zombies eating pickled okra and eventually zombies making pickled okra and helping us to rebuild since the swamp burned down last year. Well, the good news is that the swamp's pretty much back on its, I don't want to say feet because that's kind of speciesist, but let's just say that all of the weird plant-like objects are kind of more being plant-like objects. The trees are coming back, the moss is hanging down, and the Quonset huts are startlingly sturdy, we've discovered, and have actually helped us out a whole lot because we just had yet another hurricane just a couple of days ago, and I won't say that it came as a surprise to anyone because, you know, we had done the auguries and we had that pretty much written down on all the calendars, and we actually had a couple of fellas flying around on them propeller boats saying, hey, guess what, we got another one, so find high ground or bolt down or make the appropriate sacrifices or whatever it is you want to do to prepare for the event. And, well, the event came and the event went, and it's about as soggy as it usually is down here because we are, after all, in a swamp. The Quonset huts are more or less all standing up, you know, the Quonset huts that were built by the zombies, because ain't nobody in the world can overbuild a structure like a properly motivated zombie who loves repetitive actions. And actually, we had to carve a couple of doors in because they built everything without doors on it, but we were able to hacksaw our way through the door area. Now it's a door. It used to just be a wall. You can pretty much say that about any structure, but I'm not here to talk about architecture. Let's get back to the actual subject at hand. And while I'm talking about hurricanes and zombies, I think that, you know, we lost a whole bunch of zombies back at the big hurricane last year. This year, I think, I don't know if we've lost them so much as misplaced them, as the number of zombies overall has gone down to what FEMA likes to refer to as a manageable level of zombies per capita. I was not aware that FEMA had a department of the dark arts and crafts, but apparently after a couple incidents a few years back, that happened, and turns out that my cousin Niederwald just happens to have a gig out there, and I think that's fantastic. You know, I'm not one of them small government type people, because I figure if there's anything out there that can handle the kind of mindless devotion to detail that the dark arts requires, it's certainly going to be a government drone. So Cousin Niederwald is now definitely a government drone. He even has a pin that says government drone and proud of it. And we're proud of him too. Niederwald's got himself a nice little job and a pension. And eventually, in another couple 300 years, he'll be able to retire. Or whatever it is they do to government drones when they finally wear out and are no longer able to move under their own power. I think there's a couple of jar-based solutions there, but we're not going to get into that. That'll be a story for another time. So, we have a reasonable number of zombies, is what I'm talking about here, and most of the zombies are, in fact, what we would refer to as local stock. zombies that we know where they came from, we know who brought them up, and we know who it is who's going to be keeping an eye on them. We've started doing a little bit of stuff that we learned from the Bureau of Wildlife Management as well. We tried tagging the zombies, you know, a little tag on the ear or something like that. Only problem is when you can guess the first thing that's going to fall off your average decaying zombie body. Yep, it's the ear. So once we figured that was not the right plan, we decided to, well, we tried putting bear tracking collars on them, but that also didn't work out so well because they kept biting through the giant orange inner tube that your collar's made of. Apparently, it's tough enough for a bear, but it ain't tough enough for a properly motivated zombie who really does not like to have things restricting their air pipe, even though they are not actually breathing. But anyway, we finally got a couple of other ideas in there, and we tried, oddly enough, those ankle bracelets that they put on people to keep them under house arrest, startlingly effective, especially if you just stitch it right to their work boots. So anyway, we have a reasonable amount of zombies and a fair decent number of Quonset huts, and surprisingly enough, the pickled okra plants are still running along quite well. Turns out you don't need quite as many zombies to make a massive amount of pickled okra as one might have previously suspected based on prior zombie performance. It seems like the biggest thing was that there were so many zombies, they were kind of getting in each other's way, which is why we occasionally had to write the apology letter that this was not in fact pickled okra but a dismembered finger. Although after a certain point in the zombification process, the difference between a piece of pickled okra and a piece of pickled zombie finger, not as much as you might think. But anyway, just getting back to the actual heart of the matter and why it is I'm here to report to y'all today, I want to let you know that we have had a number of other things. We did have one other major thing happen after the hurricane last year, and that is that I don't know how else to put this, we lost Grandma. Now, she's not dead, of course, because she's a revenant, and that's not technically dead. That's, you know, kind of a, not really dead is the technical term for it. But and she's not. It's just, we can't find her. We don't know where she went. We were all kind of busy with that second hurricane, and kind of trying to put the tracking cuffs on the zombies and picking up dismembered zombie ears and writing apology letters, and Grandma just kind of wandered off somewhere, and we're not entirely certain where she went, because usually she likes to stay within the perimeter of our property, partially because, you know, she's drawn to home, and also partially because of the invisible fence we installed. We had to have her fitted for the collar specially, which is why we're not allowed at the Petco no more. But apparently, during the second hurricane, we did have enough of a power blink that Grandma just kind of wandered off somewhere, and we're not sure where she is. So if you happen to see a wizened little old lady with the fires of hell and intense hatred burning through her eye sockets, she may be wearing sunglasses, so it might just look like she has a fancy pair of them light-up glasses that some of the teenagers wear to raves and stuff. But anyway, she does have on her favorite high visibility t-shirt, which says, "I ain't a zombie, I'm a revenant, there's a difference," and a house dress, and fuzzy slippers, and we have no idea what that fuzz is. They weren't fuzzy when Grandma put them on, but they have acquired some form of fuzz, but that's a whole nother conversation to have later on. So if you happen to see her out there, don't get within arm's reach of her, because she'll try to claw your face off in an entirely loving and supportive way, because that's just how Grandma is. But do ask her to send us a line here. What? Yeah? Hold on. Yeah? Oh, okay. Well, it looks like it's a little wrinkled and chewed on, and of course it's a bit damp because of the hurricane, but I want to give a big shout out to Bob, our current United States Postal Service worker, who actually managed to deliver a somewhat damp, chewed, stained, and I'm not sure what that is, but we'll put that, we're going to microwave this real good when we're done to make sure ain't nothing living on it. Postcard from my grandma, and it's because it's addressed to Philo, and that's me, care of the county. And she almost spelled it right. A lot of people miss that second umlaut in the part of the county name. And it says here, "Dear Philo, love Grandma." And I'm really, oh, that makes me so happy. Grandma, do keep us posted. All right, if we get more postcards, I'll certainly let you know what that was. Can you go put that in that little space? Put a lot of salt around it. Lot of salt. No, not tahine. It's got to be actual salt, okay? The tahine is for a different kind of thing entirely. If that was a quetzalcoatl, we'd put the tahine around it, all right? And anyway, but I do... Sorry, I got a little distracted there. I was not expecting a postcard from Grandma. Well, I do actually even have... See, I was not expecting the postcard here. That was... This right here, however, is a letter. Like I said, Bob, our current postal worker, who I certainly believe will be qualified for hazard pay in a good long vacation, having served the county for over a week and a half. I just have a letter here, and it's from my friend Trey. You folks might remember Trey from a couple of episodes back. It says here, Dear Philo, if you were to resurrect your favorite hunting dog, why would it be your sister? Oh, Trey is a kidder. Oh, let me tell you a little something about, you know, Trey and I go way, way back. And Trey definitely is a kidder because, well, he is actually talking about the whole resurrecting a hunting dog thing. We talked about that a few episodes back. But he does bring up something that he likes to rib me about. Now, I take it good naturedly, and I really haven't cursed anything except causing his hair to randomly change colors every couple of weeks. But that's all in good fun. And doesn't even mess up his driver's license too much. So what he's talking about here, I should say, is he's talking about my sister Clementine. I don't talk about my sister Clementine very often because she has asked to not be a part of the major shenanigans that I report upon here at the little pod thingy. But my sister Clementine does have, she has a chronic medical condition, and I think it's important to raise awareness of this sort of thing. Because there's a lot of folks out there working with more challenges than you might think they work with. And in this case, my sister Clementine suffers from a chronic medical condition that doctors call, hang on, I got it written down here, it's looking like she's dead. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And if you suffer from the chronic condition of looking like you're dead, what happens is you look like you're dead. Like stone dead, not a zombie, not a revenant, there is a difference, not even, you know, not just dead, stone dead, that's it, Mulch City, USA, population you. And it doesn't help that Clementine has really, really dark hair, but she's been getting some gray through it lately because, well, if you've been through the kind of stuff we've been through here in the county, you get a few gray hairs here and there, hopefully in places you would expect them and not like what happened to, you know, Bruno Major. Never mind, we'll talk about Bruno later. He's doing all right, and the electrolysis is mostly effective. But my sister does have a terrible case of suffering from looking like she's dead, and she's had that since she was a little girl. It caused all kinds of consternation in the obstetrician's ward when Mama gave birth to her, because, you know, the doctor said, I think this one is not, she's stillborn, and then she started crying, and then the doctor started crying, and she started screaming, and then the doctor started screaming, and a lot of people started screaming, and, well, it took a long conversation with an awful lot of coffee with a little tequila thrown in to explain that situation. This does kind of happen. It runs in my family about once every 73 or 74 generations. Somebody just gets born looking like they're already done with the program, as it were. And so Clementine made her way through school. She was actually fairly well-liked child. She was initially picked on in dodgeball, but the first time she got hit in the face of the ball and just fell over and didn't move for a while, everybody was extraordinarily apologetic afterwards, and then she got back up and everybody screamed and we had a grand old time. And she's pretty much been living her life as a person that is in fact alive, but looks dead. Now, the thing about this is, this does cause some social awkwardness, as you might wait. Yes, it might happen. But I will say that she is doing pretty well. She has, for the most part, she's in the city now, and because she lives out in the city, she has to make some allowances for people that don't understand the way things work down here in the county. So most of the time, she has a little button that she wears in a clearly visible place somewhere on her person that says, I'm not dead, I'm just a goth. And that works out pretty well. She's actually had to learn a lot about goth music and culture, and she may have actually become a goth in self-defense just to make life a little bit less complicated. But anyway, She's doing pretty well, and I'm going to check with her to see if she gets a postcard from Grandma, because last time Grandma saw her, you know, right before Clementine went out to the city, Grandma just kind of looked in her eyes lovingly, took her face in her hands and tried to claw her face off, because that's how Grandma shows you that she loves you. If she ain't tried to claw your face off at least two or three times in the week, well, clearly she's upset with you about something. But what was the question again?
Thank you, Philo. This has been Ask Philo with Philo T. Headbecker Kneecap, practitioner of the dark arts in Southeast Texas. Got a question for Philo? Send it to pod@theadequate.com. That's pod@theadequate.com. Ask Philo is a production of The Adequate Company, and anyone who takes it seriously deserves to.